Yeah. But I'm super stoked how this turned out. It's crazy how much time like just make like make make stacking the Incalmo to make the fucking Halo. Like the it's always humbling when I get back into these types of projects, because I only do a few a year that are like a bunch of Incalmo stuff. But it reminds me of like just how much time going to some pieces. You just and I don't I think I must block it out, because then I have an idea in like 6 months from now, and I'm like, I'll do full Incalmo, and then I'll start doing it and be like, whoa, dude, this is like gonna be like days of work for this, like for this piece, at least a week or whatever, like depending on how many components. So even when I was making this, I so badly wanted to make like three more Incalmo donuts and do like this flat, long, like hammer looking thing, like tie the all the halos together kind of thing, full Incalmo. But I was like, I didn't have enough time to do it, first of all, because it's always a time crunch getting things done so my wife can shoot photos, do listings, yada yada yada. But and originally I just wanted to do a halo, but this always happens. I'll have an idea, start making it, and then I'll be like, but then I could add this, and then I could add this, and then that's how you get some of these super dumb things that I make that like after a big drop, if everyone's down, I like to like just myself take at least 2 days here in the shop to make something really dumb. It's not to make money, it's just like just to make some crazy shit, like, 'cause that's like for me how I can like, it's almost like letting your dogs get the zoomies out for a little bit, dude. I gotta get my zoomies out. I gotta fucking run around and make some crazy shit for a couple of days before we get back into, all of our booked orders and our goals for our drops and all that stuff. I gotta do my crazy shit for a little bit, 'cause that's like for me, like it keeps me just keeps me thinking. I don't know. Like it's like I like the puzzle, like the difficulty. It makes my brain work. Make sure the brain's still working, dude. What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 173 or 2. God, I didn't even look. Fuck, guys, I did too much already today, but it doesn't matter because we have an awesome episode. I got a bunch of fresh flavors on the table, some new glass. I'm going to talk about some of these newer Puffco attachments we're making, a recent drop we did, and how blown away I am, how, these pivot tots that I sold out, upcoming in-person drop in Sesh at Tetra Lounge for 710. Lots of fun stuff to go over. Again, new flavors, good coffee, glass. So get comfy, let's hang out, let's take some dabs. I just hit this fresh honey jar recycler for the Peak Pro. Gotta say, I'm so stoked how much these have gotten refined, especially these full color ones. They're like so much work. There's so many little parts and shaping and things to pull down in order to pull off these finished pieces. And I'm just so stoked how the honey jars have turned out. But let's take a look at these new pivots. I've done a bunch of videos of these on Instagram and stuff. I don't think I've really seshed one on the podcast heavily. Got her all charged and ready to go though. So these pivot tops right here, they are a turbine top. So essentially like how the stock top will actually spin the pearl, getting the name the pivot, I assume it's pivoting the pearl. So it's the same kind of like mechanics. It spins the pearl in there. But the way I did my cuts and the way it's set up, it's a little bit more aggressive of a spin, which I did on purpose, because I found that if it's too aggressive of a spin and not the right shape, you could actually suck oil into the mouthpiece. But if you make it the right shape, which these Cavalier mouthpieces are, it actually, you can pull super hard on them, and the way the shape is, the oil can pull up into it and then it goes right back down. The hits off these are absolutely absurd. I'm going to take one here in a second so you guys can see. It's crazy. 30 seconds of clouds, essentially. And these mouthpieces right here, let me throw a little bit of material in here real quick. But these mouthpieces turn your pivot into essentially a Cavalier. So they follow the aesthetic of the Bear Mountain dry pieces that we've been making over the last few years. And the square mouthpiece and everything, just the way it hits. like on white, I can take huge hits on it and I'm not like burning my mouth. It's not harsh. Like my wife and I have been smoking this thing so heavily over the past couple weeks because these new mouthpieces. Like I made the water tops before I made the dry tops, and I've also incorporated this turbine fitting to the water tops as well, because the first batches of the RBRs, I wasn't trying to spin pearls, I was trying to spin water, so I had good airflow into there so the water would spin properly. But now I've changed the design a little bit. It's essentially like a V2. The newer RBR water tops for the pivot have that turbine in the bottom, so they whip the pearl just as hard as these, and the water, giving you an even milkier hit, which I'm going to do a video on Instagram here soon showing the V2 basically and the upgrades I've done to it. All right, so I think I'm going to throw a dab of some of this Tic Tacs. This is some new stuff I haven't tried. It's definitely mixed phenos of stuff, but the terp profile and the way it looked, it was just so unique that I was like, fuck it, I'll try it. Usually I like things to be like one strain, or if it is like multi-strain, I'd rather be a cross rather than just mixing material at the end. But at the same time, sometimes you find some real special stuff when you start mixing things and ingredients at the end. So I'm going to try some of this Tic Tac from In-House. In-House is the company that actually sponsored our last Patreon event last year. They're terps are incredible, super clean, super amazing genetics. Very happy with everything In-House is doing, and I'm stoked to have a dispensary down here in Colorado Springs now that has it, a good selection of it consistently. But back to these tops, I'm very, very stoked how these turned out, just all the way from like the manufacturing point of view to the actual how it functions and like the simplicity of it, everything about it. It's just such a good product. There's not like a thing that I look at, I'm like, damn, if only it could be like this, where like the honey jars on these, I'm like, from a manufacturing point of view, these honey jar tops are like so hard to make, and they're really tight profit margins. They're really like more of like one of those things why I keep them so limited. I don't make a lot of them because they're really hard to pay the bills making those, as silly as that sounds, because it costs so much overhead to make it. For example, if something, you sell something for $1,000, but it costs you $700 to $900 to make it, but then you break it the first time, now you're in the hole. So you don't have wiggle room to make it twice. You have to get it done once. And if I break one of these, I guess I'm not dropping one this month. But they're much more limited. They're much harder. These pivot tops are really just a straightforward, clean, functional design, all the way to the way I lap the bottom of the fitting so that it, when it seats into the silicone fitting, it goes completely flat on top of the metal, atomizer in there. I'm not sure if that's the right word. But just the way the glass seats and fits in there with the silicone, it creates like a really nice fitting where it really amplifies the turbine and how it functions, because the only air coming through is through those cuts. I also do my cuts a little differently than other people. Mine are very aggressive, which is a little sketchier in the manufacturing, so I do lose some of these, but sometimes you gotta lose some to win some, you know what I mean? So like to get that really aggressive cut, sometimes I end up losing the entire piece, but either way, not a big deal. So I got my dab of Tic Tacs in here. I'm gonna warm it up, hitting it on white. Green is definitely gonna give you even better flavor, but the clouds on white are so silly and so fun. And these are such a durable, thick, like simple design, simple and clean. I just pop this out and throw it in my ISO dip fucking thing like this. Just throw the mouthpiece right in there, dip it for a second, clean it. It's fresh. I mean, I don't clean it every time I hit it though. Like, it's just more when it's getting to the point where I'm like, ooh, that's sticky. Now I was grabbing cat hair every time I move it through the fucking house. You know, I get cleaned up. So the first two hits are softer, but then once that material melts, ooh, that Tic Tac.
That's how you do it.
So you can see we got a little reclaim in this little cone section that actually looks like a drain to an RBR. What I like to do is after the hit, set down for a second. The radiant heat coming up, that oil is going to drip right back into your chamber, and usually you can get a second hit, if not a third. Unless you're a little terp glutton like me and you just hit it like that. You know, that was... Did you see how much smoke? Like, that was a full 30 to 35 seconds of sesh. That could have been passed around to 7 or 8 people and gotten like a cloud. And the rumble of the pearl in there, like, the way it spins, it's insane how fast these whip the pearls. Which, there's definitely certain times where, like, I think people have thought that if the pillars or the pearl or the pillar, whatever you're using in your vaporizing dabbing device, whether it's a nail, something like this, if it spins too quick, then it's like not like functioning like as efficiently, because maybe it's like moving too fast to be vaporizing everything. But I'm telling you, I've tried multiple size pearls, all different angle cuts. These cuts are so aggressive and fast, but the clouds I get on it are like, I mean, you saw it. Like this thing, I can get bigger clouds on this than like a proxy. The proxy is more chill, like, which these rip. I'm going to rip these too. The proxy is definitely like a flavor cannon, more chill. But the way the chamber's set up, you're doing much more of this traditional, you know, movement of moving the material in that circular motion so that it hits all sides of that chamber and vaporizes evenly with a thick cloud. The pivot, incorporating the turbine action, even in the stock top, it just gives you a way milkier hit. So I almost like want them to like come out with, it would be sick, a newer version of the proxy with a little bit bigger chamber and a turbine setup of some sort. And dude, I've already made posts and reached out. Maybe they'll do it someday. Oh, look at all the oils dripped down back down in now. So might be hard to see on camera, but that was like, there was some reclaim that built up there just from such a, I load these fucking things up too. I just put a fat, that's why I rip it on white too. Just because how I see it is, if you're taking like a smaller or a normal size dab, rip it on green, because green is going to get hot enough to vaporize all that material. If I were to put a big dab on green, it's almost like the pan that's heating up the water. If you put a bunch of water in it, it's not going to get to boiling as quick. It's going to take longer, as opposed if you just put a thin layer of water in there, it's going to boil quicker. It's the same concept with these nails and the way they're heating up, or these puffcos or anything. It's like, if you're going to put a way bigger dab, like, put it on the higher setting. And my point is that the on white, if you put a big enough dab on white, you'll get green flavor. You'll get the green temps with a more like even melt with a bigger dab if you put it at the higher setting, at least in my experience. Now, if I were to put a smaller dab in on white, it'd probably be hot as fuck and burn the dab. If I was going to do a smaller dab, I'll put it on green for sure. I smoke my Peak Pro on green because it's just a bigger unit. It can rage on green. But with the pivot, I like that shit on white, dude. If you're going to put a big dab in it anyways, you don't have to. The dabs I put in there, probably not recommended. That's why I'm like, but I feel like I'm really like testing it though. You know what I mean? Like I'm smoking the fuck out of the product, like figuring it out, figuring out what I like, finding the ins and outs. And I've definitely had literally hundreds of people reach out just out of curiosity on like how I'm getting such big hits on it. And I'm like, dude, I'm telling you, like the stock mouthpiece might be a little too close to where the oil is like bubbling and boiling to hit it that hard to get that big of a hit. It's also the shape, like these mouthpieces are like these little straws. You have a little bit more distance for stuff to cool. The way the turbine's set up, it's so aggressive, and my turbine has way more air coming in. So that increased airflow, the faster turbine, I feel like those things are also incorporating into maybe the smoke being a little bit cooler by the time it reaches you right above it. And maybe the square mouthpiece does something. I have no idea. It's just fun. I think the square mouthpiece makes it unique. You don't really often see tubing, especially in borosilicate, that's anything but just round. We make all of this square tubing in-house. It's a whole process we have here that like we've incorporated into our dry line of pieces. You find it on everything from like Puffco stuff all the way into like the higher end stuff, which I have a Halo and a Signature Series Cavalier here that I'll talk about. All these pieces found homes. This last drop went really, really well. It was all like, you know, mostly dry stuff. There was a couple water pieces in there, but mostly dry pieces. But it's cool to see how many different people actually really enjoy smoking hash, dry dabs. I love both. I have the luxury of all day getting to enjoy both. When people, they're like, oh, which would you like better? I'm like, man, it depends. I'm like, what time of the day are you catching me? Because there's going to be a time when I want my water dab, and there's going to be times where I want that dry dab. And flavor is definitely different. The dry dabs, I mean, you're getting just, it's all just the terp. Water dabs, obviously, you can take them even bigger and a little warmer and get them even milkier because you have that little buffer of all that water function and filtration and drains, you know, creating like an environment where the smoke cools down a little bit and it's a little bit more tolerable on when you're getting a really big thick cloud. But they each have their place, I guess is my point. And I enjoy both of them. And I've been having a lot of fun with the Pivot platform just because it just like feels like, I don't know, I like it. It reminds me of like the early days of like the Puffco Plus or the G Pens or the fucking Cloud or all these different companies that had pens in the early 2012, 2013. And but also having like the glass tip on it, it's like just makes it special too. Cause it's just like so thick and just like the feel of it, the aesthetic of it. It's cool. You don't have to take off your stock top to rock these either. I accidentally ripped mine off. Well, someone did. But I like to take, I'll just take responsibility because it was under my management, you know. I missed them and they actually yanked it out because they thought that was a good idea. But no biggie. What can you do? But yeah, you don't need to take your stock top off. You can leave that just hanging down and rock this. But when it is off, aesthetically, this looks nice. It'd be cool if they offered an aftermarket sleeve, which I should reach out to them about that, that if you wanted to, because when you're cleaning this, you take this whole silicone piece off. So you could essentially, they could offer a sleeve that doesn't even have the stock top port so that you could, you know, have one just set for aftermarket tops if that's what you prefer. I think the stock top works great too. You don't even need it. I just say if you want to try a little bit different experience that I find a little bit, it's just different. It's more fun because I'm a glass blower and I like the glass and I love the control over like basically modifying and putting aftermarket parts on stuff. It's fun, dude. I mean, in so many places, not just glass, you know? But I've been really enjoying the Pivot platform. I think people should definitely fucking try them out because the dabs I'm getting on that are shocking. Yeah. Well, all right. We got some new ones here too. I've had proxies for years. I always just make them into carb caps and shit. I don't like necessarily like make like functional dries out of them like we should have years ago. That's because that's what most people like when these came out, that was the idea, like make like your own like dry pieces for these to go into. Yeah, I'm just so stoked how these turned out. Our guy Chad Wook, or Patrick, I think he likes to be called Patrick better than his Instagram tag, crushed these, dude. I showed him what I wanted. And the boy can fucking, not only is he a super skilled glass blower, but he knows how to use calipers and measuring tools. And he can fucking make precise fittings. You don't know how like hard it is, honestly, to make like really, actually I want to take a dab on this, pop this one out. To make like super like precise tight fittings, like it's just, it's, you would think it's like, that's, everyone can do that. But no big deal, just a fitting. But dude, like most of us glass blowers, like we have a special set of skills. We can do our trick that we enjoy that helps us express our form of art. But not all of us have the ability to properly use measuring tools and do math. And my boy Patrick does, because he's not only a glassblower, but he's an educated person too. Myself, don't have a grade 10. So I'm one of them. Send it, boys. Let's hope this one lands. And with, you know, I call it blind faith. My guys say I have crazy confidence. I don't see that. I say blind faith because we just send it and we go, this is going to work. You wait till I show you guys the piece I made. I can't even share it until I thought I was going to be sharing it on 710 because I'm part of God. But because I'm teaming up with another company, I can't share it until they're ready. And they had to push back some of the dates on the stuff. I have to be very vague about everything because I've signed things. But man, I've made some shit that's like, oh, so dumb. It's so dumb, dude. It's like, no, I can't wait to tell you guys more about it. But it's definitely, someone came to me for something crazy and I did not do what they expected. I think they're blown away in a good way. But it's just like so, the ideas we come up with here are so goofy, dude. So goofy. It's so fun, though. But yeah, we'll do a whole podcast here in the next couple weeks with the team and stuff. And we'll talk about this big project we're working on. But I'll leave it at that. I'm going to load up something, a new flavor, into this Church Warden. That's the name of this longer, larger proxy piece you see right here. Has, again, the square mouthpiece. This is made with Galaxy, so it's a sparkly, very, like, shiny black. Same with the lip wrap on the top. These little types of details, like having super clean, sharp, straight lines and everything, like, I bent this mouthpiece and, like, set this whole thing to a table and stuff, and, like, I was, like, so stoked when I did this part, that, like, how it just touches there, like right here, it touches on this larger Maria, and then just this whole piece is flat, but the mouthpiece doesn't touch the table. So it's like, you know, also kind of like, okay, it's like the part that's going on my mouth, it's not just touching surfaces, it's floating above it. Yeah, and it's just, I don't know, but overall, I'm just so proud of my dude Patrick. We're gonna have him out here soon because he's like, it's like me and him are building and like. It's crazy, dude. There's what we're doing here. It's like, it's so cool. I'm not trying to like toot my own horn, but I'm trying to be kind of like appreciative towards it. Cause most of the time when you're in it, it's hard to even see it. You're just so stressed about like simple things that are right in front of you, like a bill you have to pay or a project that you're trying to figure out how we're going to solve this or this next big event that you can't like see like how special it is that you get to do something like. So in moments when I have good coffee, hash, and I'm just chilling, I try to use that as a moment too to also be like, things are pretty sick. I know you can sometimes use those moments to be like, everything sucks, which sometimes it does. But there's other times that you really have to try and highlight where you're like, damn, things are pretty all right. We're doing something cool. Even if it's hard, not to be so like, you know, cliche, but if it was easy, it probably wouldn't be worth doing, you know? It's like, the hard shit's probably the coolest shit to do. Just because, you know, less people are doing it. It's like new frontiers. Like, there's so much stuff changing. Like, did y'all see that, like, the owner of Raw Rolling Papers bought High Times magazine? So, here's my prediction. I don't know anything. I don't know anybody. But my prediction is him buying that is not because he thinks that magazines are the future. He's buying that to reignite High Times Cannabis Cup events and competitions that used to create such a cool community in the cannabis scene that I got to see just the tail end of. But I think that you're going to see Raw Rolling Papers try to reignite this machine that is a couple yearly events that are High Times events, High Times Cannabis Cups, if not more than that, but definitely international. But I think he wants to really get it back here in the States. And High Times since the 70s was like a very large, like I'll call it keystone to the foundation that became the cannabis industry and the whole scene of the pipe makers and the music and everything. I think the owner of Ross sees that. I think that he knows that he needs the right name and platform to reignite what he wants to do. I know nothing. I haven't talked to anyone, but this is my prediction that in like within 2 to 3 years, you're going to see like a whole resurgence of cannabis culture and basically the restart of, I would say, the pipe scene itself. Not that it stopped, but there's been so much dramatic change in the past 5 years that a lot of people that I used to look up to or love following their art are no longer either posting it or doing it. So that means there's more room for new faces, new creators, new artists to emerge. And it seems like there is a little boom of glassblowers popping up, like new names I'm seeing everywhere. So it's pretty cool. And maybe if we build Barren Mountain up enough, we'll have the opportunity to meet all these new and upcoming artists and get to know, you know, have those stories like, oh, we met that kid when he was coming up. Like he came through and did a collab or came through and just hung out. Like, you know what I mean? You never know. So hopefully we build a space here where a lot of the new faces can come through, learn some shit, get some ideas, and then keep on building to help generate more of this really fun counterculture that most of us that had been in it for a decade plus really fell in love with. You know, before we became part of it, most of us were just fans of it. You know, we liked just smoking weed and hanging out with friends and going to events. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh, I guess if I want to do this all the time, it has to be like also something that can be called my job. Got to figure that one out. But like anything, like it was the coolest shit ever. Still is for me. But back in the day, there was nothing like this. This is like coming from like a small town and stuff. It was like, wait, I'm going to like make pipes and like smoke weed all day and stuff. Like that's crazy, dude. That's so cool. Like, and like till this day, like that's why I still get in here early as fuck. Like even this morning, my wife's like, why are you getting up so early? I'm like, well, first of all, I have acid reflux because we ate dinner a little too late. But besides that, I just want to go get some shit done. I want to see this piece I finished. I want to go draw this other project. I want to clean my bench. There's like so many things I want to do. I just need more hours. I do need to sleep more though, but it's weird. I have so many moments where I'm grinding because I have to and then grinding because I'm excited. And it's like this ebb and flow, but always the same pattern and destination. It's just sometimes the motivators are different. And I've talked about that a lot over the years, how like it's never just like one thing, like what motivates you to crush? It's just like this ebb and flow of different from like being excited and hyped up to being like, fuck, dude, I got to crush to figure this out. Like we got to pay everybody on Monday. What are we doing? Like, like normal shit. But yeah. All right, I'll load up the church warden now. Either way, my boy Pat crushed us. He did so good on like all these parts and took pulling the color down. And yeah, he just crushes. Super talented glassblower. We're going to start doing episodes with all these guys. Because I got some people in here that are successful on their own shit. They don't even have to be here at all. They could do anything else. But for some reason, they want to come here and help me. So I've got to make sure I don't fuck up. So I'm going to take another dab and just try to stay on the path. None of these dudes smoke weed anymore either. They're all like grown-ups. And I'm just like, dude, I'm so stoned all the time. And it's okay. It's like part of the job. And it's medicinal. Okay. This guava, I think, is what we're getting into. I hear people out there talking. It's making me laugh. Oh my gosh, guava is crazy. I feel like this is going to be like, sometimes when shit's like super terpy, I get a little intimidated to like smoke it certain ways, like a dry piece, because it's almost like I'm scared of what that terp's going to do. I'm not even worried about like the getting stoned part or the whole weed part. I'm worried about like the aggressive nature of whatever that terp is. This one smells so good. Sour guava. Damn, dude. We got in-house in the Springs now. Dude, things are chill. Fuck it, we're going white. I'm just gonna live life on the edge. Oh wait, I didn't click it fast enough. Did you get a rainbow mode? No? Okay, it didn't work. I didn't know if this had that like party mode shit. It probably does, but I don't know what I'm doing. I smoked the peak and the proxy. Or the peak and the pivot mostly. But yeah, I love how this piece sits. And when you smoke it too, dude, you definitely have like this feeling like you're about to do something pretty cool. You know, like you're about to go on a quest. There's like something important is about to happen, or something already important did happen. Now you're just thinking. You're reflecting on it. You're pondering, you know? I need to make a personal one of these and take it to the woods and just ponder and smoke it, you know? Oh, yeah, clip the cap on. Don't mind me. There we go. Sour guava. Beautiful. And Broxy's got good flavor, though. Tell you what. I just feel like the pivot is, like, ignorant. It's like you could be, like, on a speedboat just ripping, dude. Just ripping your pivot. Just doing dumb shit, dude. Just smoking 10 more hits than you should have. Like, it's... Damn. This thing smokes really nice. And I felt cool doing it too. And I think that's what it's all about. Been trying to have more fun lately and not be so stressed. Because it all just keeps happening. Easier said than done. But what I found was 2 more dabs a day, but don't start doing them until after 8 a.m. I think it was the 3:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. dab window that was doing a number on me, like trying to just not be stressed out. Once 8 a.m. hits, dude, I've gotten enough done because I get up so fucking early. Then I'm like, all right, dude, second coffee, take a little dab, let's get it going. Using it more like I used to back in the day, like treats and this and that. Really what it was is since I've gotten in here and been coming in so early, I try to do my content and video making that early before all my team gets here. Because I don't want to have the whole team here and then have me sitting there like making a video for 45 minutes to an hour and like smoking and taking multiple takes and having them waiting to ask me a question, or I'm just like smoking the whole time and I'm like confused and super stoned. So it's like, that's like the most appropriate time I found. Also, my family's still sleeping at home. I know they're safe and no one's awake. The video won't be interrupted by a phone call being like, oh, the dog's shit here and this and that. And you know what I mean? Like, so I'm like, for the last 2 years here, I've been like in here early doing all my content creating. And I'm like, yo, that shit, like by the time everyone gets here, like I'm like stressed out because I've won one panic attack, but you still don't feel good after. It's like, even if you win the fight, you don't feel good after. You just feel like shit, dude. You're like, oh my God, there's a lot. But yeah, so now I'm like, you know, I'm not starting so early. I'm not smoking hash until maybe 7 a.m., maybe at the earliest. Maybe 6, this morning, probably 6:30, but that's fine. The sun was out, and I was out in the rising sun smoking an RBR, stacked on an RBR with an RBR on it. With a pivot, or no, a proxy cap in and out. It was a whole thing. You'll see it on Instagram if you follow me there. But yeah, so now I'm just trying to find like the most appropriate times to be making my content so I can be a little less stressed out unnecessarily. And then also like, again, like I don't want to be like smoking the whole time while I'm trying to be a good leader and or a boss or a dad and all the other hats that any fucking normal person wears, I wear them too. So it's like, as much as you guys see me smoking Instagram, everything is kind of like within windows that it makes sense, if that makes sense. Yes, I'm probably technically stoned all day, but it's fucking like, you know, in a way that makes sense, I guess. But either way, fuck, dude. I'm telling you that I'm trying to be more chill because I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I've been like for a year since I got into this place. Because we were feeling good in the house, and then we got into this place, and we feel good in here too. But it was just like so much change. And it was so many challenges that in the moment I couldn't enjoy it as much as I wish I could. Now I'm like, no, I gotta enjoy this shit. This is all temporary. Like, I gotta fucking be like stoked about, even, you know, even though shit was super tough in here getting started. Like, gosh, I don't know if I would have ever done it unless code enforcement came in and was like, you can't blow glass at your house. Like, I don't know if I would have ever ended up really moving, even if I wanted to, just because... Oh, sorry, guys. Even if I wanted to, just because change is scary. You know what I mean? Like, doing something big like that, or moving out of your house and expanding a business for, like, a crazy art form that's so niche, it's, like, scary, like, to commit to all that and make the investment. So being forced to have to do it, I think, was probably the only way I was ever going to do it. So, like, it's the silver lining, you know? That's how I try to, like, look at it. I was fucking pissed for a few years there, dude. I was pissed, bro. Oh, my God. But with enough hash... Sorry, everybody. With enough hash and mushrooms, I've found that I can be less pissed. I can just accept things and go, you know, it's for the best, dude. The next thing I have to do is just try to be home more. Luckily, the family comes and visits me here and hangs out and stuff. But I don't want my life and their relationship to me to be like a zoo, where you go like visit the zoo and you see the animal in the cage. And I am this animal in here making bongs with my buddies. Don't tell them I call them my buddies. They're colleagues, but I don't know if we'd agreed on buddy relationship level yet. So I don't want to, like, you know, whatever. Just kidding. They'd be stoked. I'll tell them that after this. Like, I told everyone you're my buddies. So you're invited to my birthday next year. Just so you know. Sorry, guys. Already too stoned, but having fun. That church warden, there was like a little clog in the beginning inside the proxy, and it shot out. And then it was just like, I felt like this just cloud of smoke just rushed through the thing. And it was like terps. And that sour guava was... crazy, crazy tasty. But I want to try another flavor. I have 5 different flavors on here. I've only tried 2 or 3. 3. So we got the sour guava. We did the Tic Tacs. Man, this papaya would probably be crazy through the pivot. Let's do that. And then I'll talk about some of these Incomo pieces, because those are some really fun builds there. And really unique color combos. Okay, that fucking smells nuts. Papaya, as long as you just grow it okay, like, you get fire hash, I feel like. You don't even have to, like, but if you do a really good job like these guys, then you get, like, super fire hash. Papaya is some of the only of, like, I guess, fruit terpene, like, fruit-flavored kind of hash that I'll really actually, like, buy. I'll smoke whatever. Like, if someone has some fire, like, terpy oranges or lemons, for sure I'll smoke it. But I'll buy papaya. Because if it's good, it's good. Like, it's such a distinct, strong flavor. All right, let that warm up. Yeah, I like this thing to, like, once it buzzes twice, when it's like, hey, dude, I'm warmed up, I even let it sit for, like, another, like, second. Because I like that material to melt around the 5mm pearl I have in here. It's like a 4.8 to 5mm pearl, something like that. All of our pivot tops came with quartz pearls, though, of appropriate size. And we have another big drop of these coming up. And like I said, at Tetra, I'll also have some of these, and some of the guys will be there. Oh my gosh, I'm already too stoned. I just felt it. When this buzzed in my hand, my body was like, dude, you're good. You just took a dab. But this is all these flavors, dude. Yeah, You can hear that, like, I'm gonna get close to the mic, but you can hear that rumble of the pillar or pearl. Just rips, dude. So aggressive. I can't do it anymore. This is what I handed to my wife. I go,
your turn.
Your turn.
Take it.
Take the pivot.
Take the pivot.
That's a literal reenactment of my everyday. You know, hey, living. Man, those things fucking work, dude. Crazy. Like anything, I think I can only do maybe two dabs back to back on this before it tells me, hey, dude, I'm a little unit. You got me heated up, ripping me that hard. Chill out. So then I usually have to let it just cool off for a little bit because it definitely has like safety things where it won't like overheat, so it won't let you warm up again. And then like with a full charge, I get like somewhere in the like 9 to 11 full dabs before I gotta charge it again. But again, any person, if you can take like 9 or 10 dabs like I was doing on that thing back to back, like fuck yeah, dude. You just smoked a whole gram through a pivot or more. Fuck yeah, but it is very efficient. And if you're an all day dabber, someone who actually takes dabs off like quartz and nails and shit, then this thing, it'll get you stoned. Like you, like if you're like on the go or you're traveling or something and you're like, damn, I wish I could actually get stoned like while I'm out of town, like that thing will get you stoned, dude. That thing fucking so discreet too. Fuck, it works. Can't wait to get some more of those. I want some of the Mocha ones if they still have them. Just gotta reach out to them. Fuck, man. Yeah, the Puffco people have been real good to us. They're fucking, they got lots of cool ideas. They rule. Lots of cool ideas. Fuck, man. That was crazy. That papaya is powerful. It's terpy. All right, let's look at some other non-electronic rig glass. Whoopsie. Quality test. Oh, come here. Move that over there. So I'll do that shit again. Alright, so right here, something I've been thinking about for a while, well, just overall, is just taking like one of the halos, because like I put these halos, not this big anyways, but I put halos into like a handful of different like designs I do, and when I do the full and calmo ones, they're always in a full piece, and like as beautiful as they are, it's like sometimes hard to appreciate just that component because there's so much other stuff happening on that piece of glass. So I wanted to do a dry piece that was like basically just like a Sherlock but using a halo. So I stacked a big and calmo, squished it all up, used like, I picked out a bunch of different colors and laid them all out and did just as many colors as I could fit on here. And then when I was making it, I said, honestly, Pat came over and asked. He's always curious about what I'm doing, what I'm getting into. And he was like, are you going to make a stand for it or something? I was like, oh, I think I'm just going to weld like a foot on there. Like make it like so it's like a standalone like dry rig. And he's like, oh no. He's like, you should just make that same foot, but just make it like removable. Do like one of your stands like you do on your Cavaliers, like the recycling ones. And I was like, word, I could definitely do that. So I created this like stand and it has like a handmade joint in there. So like this whole thing can like be like on display. It's also kind of crazy. Even though we are making a slide for this, this thing's hollow and technically could be used as a party bowl for top secret purposes, dude. So just saying, that's like the fucking 2 gram bowl right there. You can load her up. Yeah. But I'm super stoked how this turned out. It's crazy how much time, like, just make stacking the Incalmo to make the fucking halo. Like, the, it's, it's always humbling when I get back into these types of projects, because I only do a few a year that are like a bunch of Incomo stuff. But it reminds me of like, it's just how much time going to some pieces. You just, and I think I must block it out, because then I have an idea in like 6 months from now, and I'm like, I'll do full Incomo, and then I'll start doing it and be like, whoa, dude, this is like gonna be like days of work for this, like for this piece, at least a week or whatever, like depending on my components. So even when I was making this, I so badly wanted to make like 3 more Incomo donuts and do like this flat, long, like hammer looking thing, like tie the all the halos together kind of thing, full Incomo. But I was like, I didn't have enough time to do it, first of all, because it's always a time crunch getting things done so my wife can shoot photos, do listings, yada yada yada. But, and originally I just wanted to do a halo, but this always happens. I'll have an idea, start making it, and I'll be like, but then I could add this, and then I could add this. And then that's how you get some of these super dumb things that I make that, like, after a big drop, if everyone's down, I like to, like, just myself take at least 2 days here in the shop to make something really dumb. It's not to make money. It's just like, just to make some crazy shit. Like, cause that's like for me how I can like, it's almost like letting your dogs get the zoomies out for a little bit, dude. I gotta get my zoomies out. I gotta fucking run around and make some crazy shit for a couple days before we get back into, you know, all of our booked orders and our goals for our drops and all that stuff. You know, I gotta do my crazy shit for a little bit, cause that's like for me, like it keeps me just so, just keeps me thinking. I don't know. Like it's like I like the puzzle, like the. Like the difficulty, it makes my brain work. Make sure the brain's still working, dude. Tough being bombarded with lack of sleep and too many coffees and maybe a little bit of hash here and there. You know, all could be. Damn. I think I can do one more dab, but I might have to do it on the fucking water piece. I don't know if I can do another dry dab, dude. I think my body is scared. I can like feel the fear, you know? But, like, there was one more flavor I wanted to try. That's, like, the thing, you know? It's, like, it's crazy. It's, like, going out to dinner, and then, like, you really wanted to try that one dessert on the menu, but you're so full from everything else you had. And you're, like, this is going to be bad if I eat this, but I'm going to figure it out. I just got to eat it in the right way. I wanted to smoke the Cavalier, though, with that long-ass nail. No, I shouldn't use that. That nail, anyways. That's a gift I'm giving away with it. Shouldn't dab it up. Damn, dude. Yeah, I'm gonna rip the honey jar. But let me talk about this Cavalier real quick, because this one was a really cool build. And this one I made this whole piece, and then I changed my mind on part of it, and then I cut it apart, and then changed it. And sometimes it happens. Sometimes you build something, you go, I think it'd look cooler like this. I think we should take it apart and rebuild it like differently. So that's what I did. These colors on here are different chromium based colors, and these are those first batches from Molten Aura that actually had that foil metallic look to them. Now the newer batches are more sparkly, like a Stardust, but better. They're still beautiful. They're just different. So the red is pomegranate over Neptunium, which is a blue-based chromium. And then the blue is also, it's a brilliant blue over Neptunium. And then, so it gives you a way more like deeper blue chromium color. And then we did the galaxy lines in between, which is that sparkly black. The mouthpiece is full brilliant blue over Neptunium, giving like this full like foil metallic effect to the entire piece. Crazy amount of hour and time in this prep, even the strike time to get all the red to go red through it. It was a lot, but it's like, I love how it turned out. Like I love like the opal, that black sparkly background of the galaxy, the full galaxy joint and everything in it, all handmade. Square mouthpiece on it, the tapering square too, which is like my favorite when they're like that. Just looks like old antique furniture legs or like banisters and railings and old houses and stuff, and also opium pipe or something. I don't know. This colorway, originally I was trying to make like the more like modern Spider-Man metallic suit. But as I made it, I was like, I'm not going to identify Spider-Man with it, but if anyone likes Spider-Man, they might like this piece. Because that's what I was thinking about while making it. But yeah, super stoked how this turned out. And sending this one with a little prototype stand. I'm getting a welder, and we're gonna start having stands for our dry drops and then offering them to people who have previously purchased pieces. Get them stands set up so they can display their dry pieces in the right way. Yeah. Okay, final day up here. We'll fucking call it a day. Dude, oh my god, well I'm not. But either way, fun episode. Last flavor, Tropicana cookies. Oh, the Cran Z. So it's a cranberry Tropicana cookie. Let's see here. It's whoa. That's special. I mean, all day, cranberry Tropicana cookie. I mean, if you know Tropicana cookies and if you ever smell fucking cranberry sauce, there you go. That's what it is. That's fire. Damn. Yeah, we got rec down here in the Springs now, dude, so I got to go to a rec dispensary and get that way too expensive rec hash, but either way, the flavor selection's better is really what it is. Man, that smells crazy. Can't wait for the boss lady to check these out later. And be like, whoa, that one's fire, and I'm like, hell yeah. That's what we'll do, for sure, hopefully. Hopefully I don't get my hopes up. Hopefully she's like, that's mids. And I'm like, stop it. It's definitely fire. Wow. But it's dispensary hash still. But I feel like just like the homies, it's, everything's different now. Everybody's fucking growing weed. Not the same way. They're not, just not the same. The hash doesn't seem as abundant. Or at least not in the quality that we want to smoke. And the consistency. All right. Whoa. Cranberry orange gas. Fire. Whoa. Well, thanks, everybody. This was a fun episode. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter at bmsclass.com. That way you stay up to date on all of our drops. Upcoming events, Tetra Lounge for 710. I'll have Peak Dry Top, we'll Peak Dry Tops there. I'll have Pivot Dry Tops there. A couple proxy pieces. Puffco crew, I think, will have Bearmount Studios pieces that are seshing or having people able to test out. All sorts of shit going on. But yeah, make sure you follow me at They Did It, Bearmount Studios. And yeah, hope you all have a great day. Wow, I'm done, dude. That's it. That's it, dude. Shit, dude. This Puffco's got me today.